rest in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul. All right. So as has already been mentioned this morning, childlike play is the theme of our exploration of Scripture. I do believe that childlike playfulness is a connection point of healthy and mature intimacy with God. As we were beginning the year in our fasting and feasting, one of the major themes in that time, which is a major theme of our life, maybe the theme of our life, the purpose of our life, knowing God through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said that it was kind of everything. John 17:3, eternal life is knowing God. He specifically said knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ he sent. So we are passionate about knowing God. And this theme this morning of childlike play has everything to do with knowing God, with intimacy with God. It is a marker of healthy, mature intimacy with God. So I want to dive into some of the scriptures this morning that talk about being childlike, childlike play, and what it looks like to cultivate that childlike play in our lives. So let's jump right in. Matthew 19:13-15. Famously, Jesus said, or before he said, there's a little context given by Matthew. The children were brought to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples, that's interesting, the disciples rebuked the people, the parents. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them, which implies he prayed for them. And then he went away. One chapter earlier, Jesus introduced this theme of being childlike as he said this astounding phrase. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." There are very few places where Jesus says something with such gravity. I mean, what can you name on the list of, if you don't do this, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven? One of the things on that very short list is becoming like children. And he goes on to say, whoever humbles himself like this child, there's actually one of the few descriptions of what he means by childlike, humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So in these two passages, Jesus calls all of us to become and to be childlike. It is not optional if that just kind of fits your temperament. Jesus said it is a requirement to enter into and experience the kingdom of heaven, which should perk up our ears because that is the gospel that Jesus preached, the kingdom of heaven. He says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So repent and believe in the gospel. That's Mark 1:14-15. And Mark even says, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. It's right here. So repent and believe in the gospel. And so, in a sense, every blessing in heaven that Jesus wants to bring into our life, Jesus says is contingent upon, are we willing to become childlike? I would say that's not very optional. That's not the, well, it works really good for them. Their kind of personality goes well with it. Their temperament goes with it. But, you know, I've got serious things to do in my life. So I'm going to keep childlike. We got to be really careful. The culture does not want us to be healthy in a childlike faith to God. Now, I think our culture promotes childish, but childlike before God in the ways that we're going to look at in the Word, absolutely not. And we got to expect that. We've got to expect that the devil hates this message that we're going after today. The devil hates for you to become childlike in the healthy way that God's word describes. Why? Because Jesus says every blessing in heaven is unlocked when you're childlike. So as we get into this morning, I want to encourage you that there's got to be something in here that is challenging, that's foreign, that is uncomfortable, maybe because of your personality, maybe because of your upbringing, maybe because of the culture, maybe because of, you know, a little lie that the enemy's been able to just wiggle in there and says, oh, that's not me. Because there's a lot on the line. When Jesus says you must become childlike to enter into the kingdom of heaven, that should perk up our ears. It says, okay, Lord, yes, Lord, I want it. Even, and what is the first thing he said? You must turn. That's the repentance. So, Lord, I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to have my mind changed. I'm willing for you to renew my thinking about what is good and acceptable and right for me as an adult to be childlike before you. And so with that heart of wanting to turn, wanting to repent, because I want more of heaven in my life, let's go after these scriptures. I'm going to up the ante a little bit. Not only does Jesus call us to be childlike, God the Father calls us to childlike play. And that's where we're going to sit for the bulk of the message. It's because in some sense, I think that's the culmination of being childlike, is the willingness to engage in childlike play with God. And I'm very confident that this is healthy. Why? Because God describes heaven, among other things, as childlike play. And who wants some more heaven right now? Isaiah 66, 12 and 13. This is God talking. Thus says the Lord. And just to make it a little briefer than maybe it should be, I'm cutting out the whole chapter of Isaiah 66 where it is clearly talking about the new heavens and the new earth, the picture of Revelation. Why do I know that? Because it literally says the new heavens and the new earth. So you can read it in Isaiah 66. So this is the consummation of the kingdom that we look forward to in the book of Revelation when Jesus returns and consummates his kingdom and brings the fullness of the new heaven and new earth, which is what the book of Revelation is all about and Isaiah 66 is all about. So among other descriptions of what heaven is going to be like, God talks and says this: Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you, the redeemed people of God, shall nurse. You shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. This is God talking. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in the new Jerusalem. Just want to focus on one phrase. Already very fired up about Mother's Day when we're going to talk about all these phrases and the unbelievable superpower that God has given mothers. But one phrase for today. Childlike play. God says heaven will be like a mother bouncing a child upon her knee. I want you to just picture that. You've probably all seen it. If your moms, you've done it. If you're your dad, you've done it. I know that when my kids were little, I absolutely loved doing that. I remember seeing both of my parents doing that, sitting on the little hearth by the fireplace and bouncing children on their knee and kind of doing that. I think there was a game to it where you like dipped them at the end and they all come up. I remember my sister's little hair like in her face and coming up. Huge smile on her face. There is clearly and only one purpose, period, for a parent to bounce their child on their knee. Play. That the child would laugh. That the child would smile. That the child would be exhilarated with the fun of like that, you know, like. And guess what? My parents didn't invent that. God did. And he said it's going to be something that happens for eternity in heaven. God bouncing you on his knee. So that you laugh. So that you have fun. So that you smile. So that you just enjoy this affectionate connection of healthy love coming your way that is playful and makes you smile. God says that's part of heaven. That's good news. So how much of heaven can we access now? That's part of the question that always gets me excited. If that's God's heart for us in heaven, godly play from God to us, remember, with the only purpose being that playful, lighthearted, joyful, smiling, laughing, you're safe, you're loved, it's fun. And Jesus taught us to pray, as it is in heaven, so also, nope, not for you now, you gotta wait till you die. That's how many of us live. Nope, Jesus said, as it is in heaven, believe it, pray it, declare it, so also on earth now. Yes. Childlike play is clearly a picture of heaven. Therefore, I want it now. What aspect of heaven do I not want now? Got to think about that. So let's dig into a few aspects of how can we cultivate childlike play in our lives in a healthy way. This is intimacy with God. That picture of God in heaven bouncing us on his knee, that is healthy intimacy from parent to child, right? Done right, it's the child is completely safe. Free, feeling affectionate love, having fun, laughing, smiling, giggling. That's intimacy. It's healthy intimacy. So how do we cultivate some of those aspects of childlike play right now? How do we cultivate that kind of mature intimacy with God? And I do say mature on purpose because that should push our buttons when we come against the strongholds of the culture that would say, oh, that childlike thing, that's not for adults. Well, if it's good enough for heaven, it's good enough for me. So I'm going to say, I am going to mature in intimacy with God in heaven. So if I can press into and cultivate some of those aspects of intimacy with God now, then I'm actually growing in a maturing intimacy with God. So it's not childish. It's the healthy childlike. So there's a few signals in Scripture of ways that we can cultivate that intimacy, that of childlike play. One is I want to point us to something from childhood. I believe a very healthy aspect or way of cultivating that intimacy with God in childlike play is to tap into childlike seeds of delight. And let me give credit, I did not make up that phrase. I just love it, so I'm using it. See, childlike seeds of delight. Heard it on a podcast with a neuroscientist, Dr. Andrew Huberman, but I'm like, that's a biblical idea right there. They're talking about the brain health. I'm not going to get into all that, but here's what I want to get into. What did you love as a kid? Have you had to let that go because of the responsibilities of growing up and being an adult? I believe there is something sacred that God, for us to explore in this, that ways that God made us that came out as kids in that age of innocence were holy. They were a demonstration of Psalm 119. If you want to get into the word, verses 1 through 18, where it talks about how we are fearfully, wonderfully made. He knows everything about us. He knit us together in our mother's womb, exactly how he wanted us to be, fearfully and wonderfully made. The makeup of who you are is a masterpiece of God. And before we get sullied and tainted by the world, that comes out as kids. So there's seeds of delight that are in us by God as the master artist of us, his unique masterpieces, fearfully and wonderfully made. And I believe we see that in kids. I believe you saw it, you felt it in your childhood. These gifts and passions that just naturally came out, things you loved to do. And so you could go back and just think, did you love art? Did you love to paint? Did you love to draw? Did you love to sing? Did you love to play or make music? Did you love to design things? Did you love to build things? Did you love sports and activity? Did you love the great outdoors? You could go on and on, right? When you were free to choose, when you just let those passions, you explored and those just passions came out, you loved to do stuff. I believe there is something absolutely holy in going back, trying to go back and say, God, what were those? Have I lost those? If you've still got them and you're practicing, you know them and you can share them. So this, if so, awesome. You're blessed. Keep going after it. For many of us, I think we need to continue to explore more. What are those childlike seeds of delight that maybe I let go of, maybe I lost, maybe because someone said, oh, it's all about a performance and you're not good enough, so you let it go. Maybe it's that you didn't have the freedom to choose and explore. Maybe you got forced into a particular track that really wasn't that childlike seed of delight, but you just were told this is what you're doing. So to go back and explore, what are those things that generate ideas and creativity in you? What are those things that stir up interest and passion? What are those things that are recreational activities, so to speak, that if aligned well with how God has made you, they're not just recreation, but they bring re-creation. I believe that a well-chosen recreational activity can be a holy source of childlike play that brings re-creation to the heart, mind, and spirit. It helps you renew that childlike heart before God. where there's play. It's fun. It makes you smile. It awakens creativity, dreams, exploration. I believe it is a holy activity for us as adults to take time and pursue those things. They help us be childlike. They help reset us from the adult world that can be so serious and put all the responsibility on our shoulders that we can forget who we are. We're just children of God, first and foremost. Why is that the primary identity? Because it's the most important thing for us to remember. We're just children of God. Everything's meant to flow from that, our good heavenly Father, and we are children. Why does Jesus start by teaching us to pray? By becoming children. Our Father is the opening line of how you should talk to God. What is that? You are a child of God. It doesn't start with, well, God, you know, I've become pretty important now that I'm adult. I've got all sorts of responsibilities, so help me. That's way later in the prayer. It's there, way later. Our Father. Find that. What makes you feel like that? I think it's a holy activity to pursue it. One example for me is I have realized in the last 10, I don't know, 20, maybe I've always known, but I've just increasingly pursued it, is that for me, physical activity with some level of competition is childlike joy for me. It could be competition against myself or others or my sons. Then it's really fun. I'm going snowboarding with them this Thursday, my two oldest sons. I asked for that for my birthday and Christmas presents combined because there is so much childlike heaven that is encountered when I get to go be physically active with my boys. I mean, that you kind of like layer the added blessings of it. But for me to be out in the beauty of God's creation and to be doing something physical that is very childlike, thrilling, you know, it's a thrill. God made us. Like, to go, whatever, 30 miles an hour down a mountain, there is an uncontrollable feeling that you begin to have, which is like, this is thrilling. Now, you push it a little bit more, and that is like, no, I'm scared, I'm going to die. But like, so dial it back a little bit, right? Just you know, I'm going to die. No, that's too much. Just dial back the radar a little into that. This is thrillingly fun. It's like this, I love the biology of God's creation. You didn't decide to have fun, right? In a way, like, fun is hitting you. That's cool. That's like, you're not in control. You're discovering part of God's good creation. And for some of you, it may be the thrill of when you write a song. It may be the thrill of when you paint. The thrill of designing something, building something. That's the fun discovery and exploration piece that you have the privilege to do as God's beloved kid. But man, I come back from those days and it is getting increasingly sweeter. The fact that my boys are with me and that's a whole nother wing of investment in the kingdom to the fact that my boys want to be with me. They want to be with each other. We can go and have a day full of laughter and love and fun. That's just kingdom blessing upon kingdom blessing. The only thing I'm waiting for now is Pax to be a little bit older so it can be all three of us, because like I said, I'm competitive and it's like, I'm not waiting for you, sucker. Let's go. So you're not quite there yet. Rite of passage into manhood. When you can keep up on the mountain, you can join the men. All true. It's not a joke. Wakeboarding is the same thing for me. My parents have been so gracious to take me wakeboarding from time to time. And we got to go on some Mondays in the summer. And let me tell you, that makes Mondays holy. From I'm tired, I'm a little cranky, I didn't get enough sleep, here comes the week again, oh, I got to do this all over again. to, which, you know, I'm human. There's my limitations. That's how I feel at times. On Mondays, by Tuesdays, it gets a little better. But Mondays are sometimes a little cranky and groggy. We all know. It's like, oh, who's excited about work on Mondays, right? But I'll tell you, the morning of, you know, 2 to 3 hours out there, again, out in nature, in the water, with my parents, whom I love, maybe one of my kids, and I get to go do this physical activity that's super playful, and I come back, and I feel completely different. My mind is cleared. My heart is full, and my spirit is ready. I'm like, bam, let's go start another message right now. And it's like, so someone might look down, oh, yeah, 2 hours, you just be this kid, shouldn't you be at work? Those are the lies of the enemy from our culture. No, I'm serious. Where it's like, no, I'm going to live under heaven's rules and be far more joyful and productive than sitting in my computer bitter and angry about life at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. Because I'm not living in the rhythms that God's designed of that childlike play. We're never too old to need it if we need it in heaven. So there's something about that. And I feel like what I want to communicate is embrace the freedom to pursue this, to discover that your good heavenly Father is the one giving you permission to say, hey, this matters to me because it matters to you. You're not going to be living in the fullness of intimacy with me if you've forgotten or don't have permission to be that child of mine. A few more things just right on these lines that'll be quicker. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus famously says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So a light and easy yoke is a mark of maturity in the Lord. To tell everyone about how much responsibility and burdens and weighed down you are, and you just have to do all these things because all these people are depending on you, and just to kind of brag about how stressed and burdened you are, you've forgotten who you are. Just a child, Jesus says, first and foremost. I mean, for Jesus to say, hey, I want you to learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. No, we got to make sure we understand what he's saying. He's saying his. Jesus is walking through life as the Son of God, only doing what he sees his Father doing. He's taking that childlike posture, and he says, hey, I want you to learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I walk through this life with a light and easy yoke, and I want you to learn from me how to do this. I want you to learn how to walk in a light and easy yoke how I do. You get what he's saying? So then when we come to him, and be like, oh, but Jesus, you don't know the pressures I face. And he kind of looks at you and he very lovingly winks and smiles and then twitches like, let me hear you right. Child, son, daughter, I don't know the pressures that you face. Let's talk pressure. No, I don't want to talk pressure. Just trust me. I have a light and easy yoke before my Father. And I want you to learn how to carry my yoke so that you can live with a light and easy yoke. Now, this is not in any way an abdication of responsibility. That's where we got to be really careful. This is not childish. This is not, I don't want responsibility. I don't want pressure. I don't want hard things to do. I don't want to take care of other people. I don't want to serve others. I don't want to do the hard things in Scripture. I don't want a calling from God to go into the hard places. That's childish. No. Childlike is not an abdication of responsibility. It is a confession of our limitations and a trust in the one who has the power. As Jesus mentioned, children are humble in a particular way. They trust their parents to take care of them. That's the default. It is an unhealthy, if not abused or abandoned or neglected, 8-year-old who feels pressure and responsibility in their life. So they got to take care of this. They got to make sure they're fed. They got to make sure they're clothed. They got to make sure they're housed. They got to make sure their siblings are safe. That is not healthy for any 8-year-old. That's the parent's job, to provide, to protect, so the children in that stage of life can learn to dream, to be free, to explore, to develop, to find gifts and passions. So us as adults, anxiety, stress, burdens, all that pressure hitting us is often connected to us trying to carry our own yoke, do it our own way, in our strength, in our timing, for our glory, for our agenda, to make our identity. Instead of that childlike posture that trusts the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, as the power source for all that. And so that's a really good litmus test. Because all of us, this is a struggle. This is real. And I think that light and easy yoke question is a phenomenal litmus test. Phenomenal. How are you feeling right now? Are you walking in a light and easy yoke? When not, and I say when because all of us do it, that's that opportunity right there to press into childlike intimacy with God and say, okay, God, in this situation right now that is hard and does have pressure and is stressful and there's a lot of people counting on me and I need to get this done and it matters, it's significant. I can't blow it off. That's the childish. It has to be done. These are genuine, good responsibilities that even God gave you. And somehow in the midst of that, learning, this is maturity, childlike maturity is somehow in the midst of all the pressure to have a light and easy yoke. Because in that childlike identity, you're doing the things that need to be done, but you have entrusted the power to him. Somehow you have taken up Jesus' offer to put on his burden, his yoke, to walk with him, to be that young calf that when yoked with the older, stronger, parental cow, that's the one that really does 95% of the pulling and the lifting, and the little calf is just kind of there for the ride to learn what it looks like a little bit. A light and easy yoke where he is doing the heavy lifting. That's where it gets real. God, what does it look like in this situation right now to not abdicate responsibility, to step into the responsibility, but to trust you so that somehow in this moment, I still have a light and easy yoke. Not because you want everything to be easy and comfortable for me, but because that's the demonstration of whose power I'm really trusting in. Am I trusting in your power? It's the same confession as Paul. 2 Corinthians 12:10, where he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. God was teaching him that this lesson, different verbiage on it, but it's the childlike lesson. God, I've got all these burdens. I've got, I'll just take them all away. That's kind of almost an abdication. Just, I'll make it go away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. That means my empowering presence will be there with you to do what you can't do on your strength. And then Paul says, well, whoa, that's grace. I can't do it, but you can. Well, then I want to boast in my weaknesses. Because when I am weak, you are strong. But that's not what he says. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, poor in spirit, recognize I can't do it, and I come into that childlike place of needing your grace, needing your power, needing to be the one that it's your power that makes the difference, Paul says, then I'm strong. Whew, this is a lifelong journey right here. But this, if we can press into this, this is what will sustain us in life. This is the exact thing that will empower us to do the hard things and to take on responsibilities and to be willing to serve others, to be willing to join in with God on his mission in the world. All of these serious, adult-like, meaningful activities that he calls us to step into. But that's the upside-down nature of the kingdom. We don't step into it and say, hey, thanks for the call. I've got it from here, God. Which is by default what we often want to do. So it's that lifelong pressing into, what does it mean to have this light and easy yoke in this responsibility, God? And you'll know if good fruit's coming and you're not burning out, you're living in a light and easy yoke. What does Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. When you're getting weary, you're not living in a light and easy yoke. When you're burning for him, bearing good fruit, you're living in his light and easy yoke. And so this is something absolutely critical for us to get very intentional about, very precise with, because there's so many healthy responsibilities that we do have as an adult. And as we grow in maturity, more will come. What does Jesus say? When you've been faithful with a little, more will be added unto you. So you got responsibilities of maybe being married, having kids, grandkids, work, ministry, add. And all of those can be really good things from the Lord. They're all opportunities to press into that fundamental reality of being childlike before him. Learning that maturity of somehow, I've got all these responsibilities, but I've got a light and easy yoke. That's childlike. And I think I want to pause right there for the day. Got a few more things on the lift notes, but we'll circle back to it soon. I think we've got enough to take to the Lord and process with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing picture of your will for our lives. Childlike play, a light and easy yoke, joy, laughter, smiles, freedom, power, peace, thriving, fruitfulness, burning for you. And thank you, God, that the secret to this kingdom life is that, as it always is, upside down from normal, it's a call to become like children. What a beautiful irony. The call to be the most productive, fruitful adults that we could possibly imagine is to first become like children. First and always. To be childlike with you. I thank you and pray in Jesus' name that cultural strongholds are breaking right now. That lies of the enemy about who you are and who we are called to be, meant to be, designed to be, are breaking in Jesus' name. And we declare by faith that your Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts. As we repent and turn, you are renewing our minds with the truth of heaven, the truth of who you are, the truth of our childlike identity in your eyes. And on that note, we will take just a quiet moment and let the Holy Spirit confirm what he's wanting to say to you. In this quiet moment, we ask, Holy Spirit, would you, even just as we've heard this exploration of your word right now, highlight something for us. Remind us of a scripture, of a phrase, a picture in the scriptures, even one word. What are you wanting to say to us personally to renew us, to help us step further into the fullness of that beautiful child of God you've designed us to be?
I will sing a new song. I will dance a new dance like David.